Hello, I'm Rafik, and you're watching the Garbled Twistery Channel.
Here we are. It is Garbled Twistery, and yes, indeed, it is election time, and yes, indeed, it is 1828, and yes, indeed, it's going to be super dramatic for no reason. So what are we waiting for? Let's get the drama started. Okay, so the first thing we gotta cover is all this drama that was going on leading up to the freaking election, okay? You see, Nancy Drew's henchmen treated the struggle to win the Iron Throne like a popularity contest more than anything else. And while this was not new, it was unprecedented in its ferocity. Instead of talking about the actual issues facing the country, Nancy Drew was all like, quote, "The Quincy is a lying liar, and I'm not a lying liar. Bada boom, vote for me," unquote. The Quincy, on the other hand, he personally wasn't trying to make this a popularity contest out of principle, okay? But the Quincy supporters? That's a different story. A story about Nancy Drew's marriage being super controversial because of its wildly convoluted circumstances. I do talk about that particular dirty laundry in my Nancy Drew episodes, but the fact that that's being brought up now, before an election, yeah, things are gonna get ugly. Cause now, Nancy Drew's folks have the go-ahead to rip the Quincy's life apart under a microscope in their campaigning. The Quincy fans are all like, "Nancy Drew is a stinky little slave trader who is also literally a murderer. We saw what happened in New Orleans. He's also a cannibal, and his mom was not faithful to her husband, and his dad isn't even white. We need to see some birth certificates." Yeah. Yeah, it was crazy. Oh, and Nancy's team was bringing the heat as well, hollering about how the Quincy one time found a little girl and just handed her over to the Emperor of Russia to abuse, and how the Quincy had a billiards table in the freaking White House and charged people to use it. Nancy Drew's wife, Rachel, yeah, she wasn't feeling at her healthiest, and the immense stress of this horribly chaotic election wasn't helping. It literally stopped her heart. Rachel Jackson died. Now let's move on to the election itself. As we know, last time the whole thing ended up being thrown into double overtime in the House of Reps, and the Quincy made some Play-Doh deals to win it. We are also aware of the fact that the Quincy subsequently gave Mr. Play-Doh that sweet, sweet secretary job, and that this greatly fueled the aforementioned melodrama. What I didn't mention in detail is that all this hullabaloo literally tore the Democrat-Republican Party apart, especially when Nancy Drew's team bum-rushed the Congress election. The game has changed. Now, how did Nancy Drew become a candle date? Immediately. That's how. The second the Quincy took office, the tennis ball state started campaigning for Nancy. And they were able to get Billy Crawfish and Martini Van Berlini to rally behind them too. And they didn't call themselves Democrat-Republicans anymore. No siree. They just called themselves the Demon Cats. Nancy Drew even got Johnny Cowhide, who was literally the vice principal, to play along with the Demon Cats. Well, for now. Cowhide's got his own harebrained schemes too, but we'll talk about that in the future. But yeah, Nancy didn't even need a cactus. He knew. As for the other side of the chicken coop, the Quincy and the Clayman's folks called their team the National Pelicans. And frankly, they weren't as much of a well-oiled machine, not like those Demon Cats. And why is this the case? Because the Pelicans are old school. They want to talk about the issues, and they're not trying to go on some war path that'll turn this race for the Iron Throne into a wild popularity contest. You know, they had a couple rallies, a couple conferences, and they collectively decided that the Quincy ought to try for another 4 years. The Quincy picked up Richie Rush as his first mate, and the game plan was to team up with Play-Doh and a ragtag band of leftover fedora wearers from New England, while Mr. Rush would try to get some votes from Pennsyltown and the surrounding states. Anyways, the real campaigning started, and that's when all that crusty drama I described before got more dramatic. Nancy Drew talked about how much cooler his hair looked. The Quincy talked about the issues. Nancy Drew made sure every big plan the Quincy had was seen as a threat to the Constitutie and was taking all sorts of speeches out of context to do it. Nancy Drew would also walk around kissing babies and having picnics at Six Flags or whatever as well. That was new. Speaking of new things, Tommy Pickles has something to say. Wait, what? What is that man doing? You're telling me back when Nancy Drew decided to run, former Iron Throne man Tommy Pickles invited him over for a cup of tea at the Portillo's mansion? Yeah, he did that. And when that 1824 tiebreaker happened, Tommy Pickles was mad too. Why? Because he was rooting for freaking Billy Crawfish, not Johnny A's son. I mean, why would that Goody Two-Shoes deserve to win anything? Cut to 1826, and Tommy J freaking dies on the 4th of July, and now both Team Nancy and Team Quincy are trying to co-opt his dying words for this freaking election. The Quincys are all like, quote, "Nancy Drew is just a freaking crazy gun nut idiot, and Tommy once told me how scared he was of how Nancy was bribing people with picnics and kissing babies to win," unquote. Also, Tommy was talking to his Pokemon Grimer one day. You know what he said? He said electing Nancy would be like electing a chicken. That said, if we look at the accounts from Tommy's son-in-law, apparently Mr. Pickles hated Mr. Plato too. The account also states that he would be okay with Nancy Drew's campaign because of it. In fact, the in-law says that the old man thought Nancy Drew was the only hope left when it comes to not turning this country into freaking tea land. And then 1827 comes around, and the governor is all like,
I just got a letter. This will change the game. Boop.
Boop. He wrote it to a friend in secret after the Quincy's astrology speech when he won. What did it say? Quote, "Kids these days think they could just come in and do whatever they want with their telescopes. Back in my day, we had checks and balances that we did," unquote. And while the Nancy Drew people were like, "See, don't believe the Quincys were like, "This letter is meaningless because he was a crotchety old man who died yesterday. Like, come on, people." Also, there was another letter from way back in 1808 that said the Federalists did a great job handling trade with the baguettes and tea sippers during all their drama. But whatever, whatever. This was an odd detour to take before talking about the results. Tommy J was freaking old as a rotten turnip, and sure, he used to be sitting on the Iron Throne, but come on now. He's an old man. Come on, people. So how did this whole mess and a half turn out? Well, the Quincy won almost exactly every state his dad won back in 1800, so New England and a couple others. Nancy Drew? Nancy won everything else in an electric landslide. I know what you're thinking. What about Billy Smith? Where does he fit into all this? Well, the reason why that man got a bunch of VP votes was because Georgia was having a minor political aneurysm, as Georgia tends to do. As for the popularity contest portion of the vote, Nancy Drew won by like 12%, but that isn't a whole lot, actually. Like, literally 20,000 votes in a couple of states could have wildly changed the outcome. But alas, Nancy Drew claims the Iron Throne. At what cost? The death of his wife, Rachel. No, really. She was already sick, and the ugliness of the campaigning, I could imagine, only sped up her demise. But let me tell you, these next couple years are gonna be real different. How can I tell? Well, you see, when Nancy Drew had that "You're a President Now" ceremony, a giant mob stormed into the White House eager to shake his hand, destroying the furniture and driving the electric bill through the roof. And I don't know about you, but I'm expecting some cult leader shenanigans on an unprecedented level in the years to come. If you've got something to say about this episode, about the podcast, or about, I don't know, window washing tips, you can find Garble Twistery on Facebook and Twitter, or you can head to garbletwistery.net and send a message in the contact section, or you can email moi. My email is Rafiq, that's R-A-F-I-Q, at garbletwistery.net. Also, I have Patreon, so if you go to patreon.com and become a patron, you'll gain not only the access, but the ability to determine what topics get to be Patreon-exclusive bonus content. And the current bonus is all about COD games you see on the shelf at checkout. How very cool! Anyways, next time we begin yet another series of fun little in-between election episodes. And what event are we looking at for 1829? Well, someone found some gold in Georgina. And knowing how Georgina is and how gold makes people go crazy, I think we just gotta look into it.
This is the ending. I'm ending it now.
Kids these days think they could just come in and do whatever they want with their telescopes,